gonna call a meeting in order. It's been a little more than 30 seconds, but this is our regular meeting of Tuesday, March the 20th. And Madam Clerk, would you see who is here?
I sure will. Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Yes.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Smallman, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
And Vern Halper, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. We have the agenda before us. Is there anything you, first of all, any intention pertaining to the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I'd like to pull 12-027 and get a staff report for procurement and public works about that project, please. And I'd like to talk about it.
That's AM 12-027.
Yep.
Okay, anything else? Okay.
Well, what about the ferry one, the Rezzo? We need an update on that.
Okay, which number?
That's item 1E, resolution 12-037.
037?
Yes.
Okay.
Which Mr. Mayor, which action memo did Mr. Arvin pull?
He pulled 12-027.
Okay, thanks.
And we are going to pull 12-042 because we've got some more correct language to use instead of soldiers.
Can you run them by me one more time?
Okay. So we're pulling 12-027, 12-037, and 12-042.
Well, 12027 is an AM. The other two are resolutions.
This is so everybody has an idea what's going to happen when we get to the consent agenda. We're going to rise, and I'm going to ask the decorated Mr. John Beasley to lead us in a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm assuming there were no other changes to the agenda, just to make sure before we move ahead. We have the minutes. Any comments? Madam Clerk.
It was brought to the clerk's office attention that the 2:28 minutes on the first page, the call to order, we had 1 p.m. It's actually 1:09 p.m. I put a corrected version in your red folder.
History. Really important about that 9 minutes.
It was.
Okay. Assembly Member Keough.
Another extraordinarily important correction to the minutes, and that is actually a very minor correction, but nonetheless, for the minutes of the March 6th meeting, page 3 of 15, mid-page, the third bullet under Keough is 4 panelists, not 3 panelists, regarding the debate of the Kamada Bridge.
Mr. Mayor, we did verify that. That is correct.
Okay. There's no objection. That will stand corrected then. Okay. Moving on to agency reports. I saw Wasilla back here. Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I have 4 items before you tonight. The first one is the City of Wasilla did pass resolution 12-09 at our last council meeting, which is supporting the transfer to Lake Wasilla Park and committing to maintenance and committing to the provisions of the land and water conservation fund program. And that helps meet the state and federal requirement. And so you will have one coming before you here in the next few weeks. because you also have to do one. Item number two, they're still in the process of the survey work as far as the land transfer for the new Wasilla Library. Item three, the city of Wasilla is still having problems with DOT and the design on the Church Road to Vine Road improvements. DOT will be back in front of the Borough Planning Board on April 19th. We will be there to voice our concerns also. And finally, on your agenda tonight, ordinance number 12-54, creating the Susitna Montana Hydroelectric Task Force. Just something to think about is I don't see either the city of Wasilla or the city of Palmer represented on that board. It's just something that you might want to consider. I can't speak for Palmer, but I'm sure if we had a seat, they would want one. That's all I have, sir.
Okay. And were you suggesting you're extending city limits?
All the way to Talkeetna?
All the way to Montana.
I just think that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Is Palmer here? Houston?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, seven members. My name is Jim Johansson, Deputy Mayor for the City of Houston. And just a small report that we did pass Resolution 1205 along with everybody else, however, we were the first city to do it. Sorry, I was meant to say that. In support of the Senate Bill 159 establishing the Susitna State Forest. I was unable to attend our planning board. Our planning commission meeting last night due to some prior commitments, but I understand it was quite a packed room in regards to the Department of Transportation folks coming down there. I know some of our city business folks have some concerns as well, so I think we're going to have some issues with some other plans also. Me personally, I'm for road improvements. They're absolutely they're needed in one extent or another, but how far they go with that. I noticed throughout the meetings that they have shown up. They're kind of telling you what they're going to do as opposed to gaining your input. I get that from folks who sit behind cubicles in faraway places without actually seeing the impact it has on people. So, on another note, I urge the entire assembly to support the gentleman for the chosen reservoir naming of the mountain as a retired Navy Hospital Corpsman. I fully support my Marine Corps brothers in that aspect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We just spent 2 hours with the school district. Did you have any more to say? No. You do have a report from the new wastewater and septage advisory board, Mr. Healy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. I'm Tom Healy. I'm elected chair of the Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board. And I'm here to report to you briefly, primarily to point out, I believe it's in your packet, a resolution that the board has passed, resolution number 1201, dealing with acquisition of property for regional facility. As you're aware, the borough, in cooperation with the cities, about 2 years ago completed a study of the regional wastewater and septage issue. It was a very involved study, and it came up with various assumptions and cost estimates. And I understand a regional wastewater facility is somewhere on the borough's CIP list. I'm sure it's not right up at the top at this point, but the point is there has been significant work done on this issue, and the board was appointed to look more closely at this and come up with some recommendations. In terms of the resolution, whereas this issue, particularly the ultimate construction of a wastewater, regional wastewater and septage facility, could be, probably is, many years out. There are some actions involving property which it would be advisable to look at in the near term. Acquiring property for such a facility is not like identifying properties for schools and that kind of thing. It's a very specific, has very specific needs, primarily needs an outfall somewhere. So there are very few choices, really, for where this land would be. The study, the 2010 study, identified two primary sites. Our resolution doesn't mention a preference or anything, but the point is if this is going to be something in the boroughs and municipalities' future, as given the growth of this area, it may well be. I think the board believes it's important to look at acquiring some property for this future essential utility. So that's the purpose of that resolution. So we would ask the assembly to, whatever your process may be, to adopt a resolution directing staff to look at this or whatever that procedure may be. So that's we've had I think three meetings so far. Committee's working well, and we are having a presentation from the Anchorage Wastewater Utility at our next meeting to gain information on how they deal with this issue. So if there are no questions, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are you involved at all in? I heard second or third hand that there's some kind of ribbon cutting on the Palmer line that goes from the hospital up along Trump Road Friday.
I'm not aware of that. No,
okay.
No.
Well, maybe it was just.
I think they are extending a water main that way.
Oh, right. I thought there was a groundbreaking happening. Okay. Assemblymember Keel.
Mr. Healy, through the mayor, do you anticipate that the Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board will be playing a role? And this is on the presumption that the assembly will pass a resolution, which I'm sure or confident we will. Do you plan to engage in the site selection effort, or are you going to leave that to staff?
I don't know yet. I don't know what the procedure involves. And that would be up to the, I suppose, the assembly and the administration to determine what the membership of that board or the committee would be.
I'm sure it would come back before you. We would want your approval before we actually go to site. We'll work it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any joint school board committee meetings?
Second's the next meeting.
Okay. Assembly Public Relations. Assemblymember Keel.
Three items to report. Last week, primarily for the purpose of visiting the ferry that we'll be soon taking on, I stopped in Juneau on the way to Ketchikan. Visited several legislators, primarily for the purpose of advocating the road bond. I also made a visit to the Coast Guard offices for the purposes of some Lake Louise issues. I did spend last Thursday most of the day on board the ferry, quite an impressive vessel. And I guess I'll reserve my further comments to the regarding the ferry, since that's a consent agenda item that's been pulled, so maybe I can offer some comments there. And the third item regarding Lake Louise, there was an informational meeting by DNR regarding a planned land disposal of nearly 100 lots on Susitna Lake and Lake Louise. That was 10 days or so ago. It was quite well attended. I'm glad DNR held the meeting in Lake Louise. They were hesitant to do so. They finally did, and I think they were very well informed by the several local landowners and residents that showed up to offer their concerns, which I hope DNR takes to heart. So, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the manager's comments.
Yes, on April 25th through 27th, myself and our favorite borough attorney are going to be in D.C. And I want to encourage any assembly members who would like to go with us. We'll be potentially meeting with FTA and some other grant agencies. I think it's a very important trip. So, but they also said they'd like to see elected officials show up instead of just me and Nick. I think they're tired of Nick, and they're starting to get tired of me real soon. So, and then also too, just saying on a personal note, tomorrow morning I am heading back to Minnesota to meet my grandson, and so Don Moore, in a week I'm going to be gone, will be able to take care of all your needs, and if he's not performing as well as we all expect him to, I'd also be reached by cell phone.
Mr. Attorney?
Under our manager's report, state and federal legislation, there's a piece of legislation that I think we should have on our radar screen. House Bill 313 deals with the school funding formula, and there's a provision in there to usurp the authority that the borough would have to keep the 50%, which we're actually using for schools, the lapse money issue. I think it's one of these issues we best left to be handled locally rather than a state decision that would basically ban us from retaining any of those funds. So I think it needs to be on our radar screen, look at that bill and see what the lay of the land is. It's in House Education. But if we want to still accumulate funds for school sites, we wouldn't be able to do that if this legislation would pass. But
okay. Mr. Attorney.
So, as everybody probably read in the newspaper already, the Alaska Supreme Court ruled last week on the redistricting plan. And in a nutshell, what happened was they started to consider the claims. They took a look at it and stopped and went, wait a minute, you guys did this wrong. What the Supreme Court said was they're supposed to follow a process laid out in the post-1990 census litigation, Hickel versus Southeast Conference, which says you apply the Alaska Constitution first. Afterwards, if you have to, you apply the Voting Rights Act, the Federal Voting Rights Act, if you have to deviate. And the court looked at the plan and said, that's not how you did it. You kind of threw it all together. You didn't do this two-step process. And in their order, they say the board must first design a plan to comply with the Alaska Constitution and then apply the Federal Voting Rights Act. They declined to reach the merits of the case and remanded it. The board has meetings every day next week. I did draft a letter for the manager's signature to submit comments that the plan that we had submitted last year, that we still think that's valid. If you recall, it's a plan that it followed the political boundary of the MATSU and put all of our House districts and Senate districts, the most we could, into that. We don't know for sure what they're going to do. This appears to be a complete remand order, and part of the order even says if the board doesn't think it can get done in time, they can apply for an interim plan for one election, which may cause a bit of a mess, but that's what the court ordered. So I think the Supreme Court had contemplated starting over. It doesn't look like the board may be completely doing that. But we'll be monitoring it, and I'll be, you know, working with the manager to make sure our comments are in and start to see where it goes. So we have no idea how they're going to proceed.
And so in the meantime, the precinct boundaries are undefined?
Precinct boundaries are undefined. There is a possibility that if they have an interim plan that we're going to have interim precinct boundaries, which will affect our elections because the state sets precinct boundaries that we follow. It'll affect our elections for this fall, and then next year we would have different precinct boundaries. I think somewhere around the beginning of June is when the state would have to have theirs done for their filing period because of their primaries in advance of our election. So we'll have something for our election, but we're going to be watching it. And again, Pam Graham over in planning has been a great help. She's been monitoring the whole thing. She's the one who worked on a lot of this before. So she's been a great help in monitoring and seeing what's going on and shoving me emails of press releases and things that go out. So
Did I hear you say that you and the manager submitted a plan for the borough?
Last year, the assembly actually had we had various plans up on the wall, mm-hmm. and we had a meeting, and the assembly saw a plan that staff had come up with, just with by kind of looking at the numbers and looking at the constitutional principles and coming up with a plan. And we actually submitted that. Elizabeth Gray signed a letter last May, submitted probably right before the new manager started here. Well, old manager now. Submitted a letter last May with an FTP site link. That link is still up. I checked it. We also submitted a disk with all the population data from the census and the map in the digital format that they needed. It's all still on the FTP site. So the current letter, because they're meeting next week, it basically sticks with our previous position that we have the population for five full House districts, 2.5 Senate districts, without splitting us out into Anchorage or up into Fairbanks or out towards the Bering Sea at all.
Okay.
So.
Member Collins.
As I have a comment, I have a completely different interpretation of the not so well written order, but the precincts are out on the website, the state's website, already for all the new districts. They're not incorporated in one map, but they are available if you want to look at them. Thanks.
So are those considered interim?
As far as I know, Mr. Mayor, if the House and Senate district lines change, those precinct lines will have to change also. So right now, we don't know what precinct lines we'll be dealing with.
But you do, if our boundary lines don't change.
If the Senate and House, if they're able to get done in time, yeah, okay. We might be using those, or we might be using the current precinct. I don't know at this point.
Okay, at what point will you let us have them?
We still have districts, though.
We still have districts.
Well, I know we do, but every time we've asked for something with precinct boundaries on it, not let it out.
That's because we still have to get them in from the state. Mm-hmm. We have to get them incorporated into our GIS data. We do not have that yet. That's what was my next plan as soon as this lawsuit was over, was to start moving towards getting our precinct information into GIS. But now that it's been remanded back, I don't know what the next step is going to be, what the state is going to do.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, you're next.
The clerk's report is in your red folders. It does have suggested budget meeting dates, which are in bold. We've got April 15th. I always put down when the legislative session ends. April 16th. For the manager's overview and proposed, and then the budget presentations for that day. The first, May 1st, would be a presentation from the school district. Public hearings on May 2nd and 3rd. And then deliberations could also happen on the 3rd, but also the 7th, the 9th, and the 10th and 14th are tentative. And then also the manager has requested his evaluation, annual evaluation is due in May. So he did request at 4 p.m. on May 15th.
Do you want action on these?
If we can get consensus, that would be great.
Okay. Somebody will work forward.
I had time during our last meeting to study that schedule. I worked up kind of a few tweaks to it, and I'll have you look at it as a proposal. And then I worked with the manager because he talked about the trip he's taking, and we kind of coordinated what worked. I'm on jury duty, looks like, for May, so I don't want to be here during the day. One is one consideration, but Lonnie's, correct me if I'm wrong, Lonnie, your preference is to just bam, 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 get us in here one as frequently as possible once we get into the budget.
You're talking about the deliberation dates?
Yeah, or the, you know, base.
What we were looking at is the mayor does have time to veto the budget. The budget does have to be adopted by May 31st.
Yeah.
He has until the next regular meeting to issue his vetoes. So if we don't get it adopted by May 14th, the mayor has until June 5th to issue any vetoes he may have. So then that exceeds the May 31st adoption date with your final mill levy.
Right. The change from that date proposed to be the last day was on the 14th. We put it on the 15th. I guess we could back that up, Mr. Manager, couldn't we? And if she wants to finish by the 14th on that Monday. Yeah? So I guess the proposal then would then be revised. The 14th would be if necessary, if we're still at it.
And what were you doing with the manager's evaluation?
He's still on the 15th.
Oh, okay.
We had changed this to Monday the 14th, the last day. We've got to make sure you don't have any time to veto things, though, right? No, just kidding. No, come on. You know, you got a new assembly. You won't have to do that anymore.
I have to work all night. Well, I'm hoping so.
Well, you let us know when we're in the middle of it. What do you got issues?
So, Assembly Member Hall, the manager's evaluation, does that have to be done by a certain time?
Mr. Manager?
Can it be done in June? Or is it? Because we have that means, three, four.
Yeah, maybe we can punch you a little bit. Unless.
Maybe we should do it before the budget process.
Yeah.
I was hoping for that. You'll be grouchy at budget time.
Yeah, we'll be all grouchy by then.
But there's a lot of meetings right in the road there to stay the other way. Unless it's urgent.
So is there a problem with the proposal that Assemblymember Colbert made? Assemblymember Solomon?
So just on April 16th there at 9.
Yeah.
What does that AM behind the 9 mean?
Lonnie will explain that new process 5 years hence.
Because April 30th doesn't have that behind it.
What we have been doing through the mayor is instead of holding four or five different work sessions where departments come in and give overviews of their budget, we have been having that done during a day meeting that usually lasts until about 5 or 6. And then if there's anything left over, then it goes to the... where the school district presents their budget.
And that was supposed to be at 6. It's,
at 6 p.m. for April 30th? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it 6 p.m.?
Yeah, does that work for you?
Yeah.
On April 30th?
Yeah. 6 p.m. on April 16th.
Right? Well, they used to do it 2 or 3 budgets a night, and you'd have up 4 or 5 nights of budgets. But when Lynn Woods, I think, was deputy mayor, she wanted to put it all into one day, and I think that's been the... When Mayor Menard had passed, that's been the trend since then, that the departments just come in here rapid fire all day long and get it over with. The only problem is you don't really have a lot of time to stew over stuff. So,
does this give us enough meetings for them to make their department presentation over 2 nights?
I don't know. The Tammy question.
Normally it does. If we do have a department or two that's left over, they usually present right after the school district's done. And if need be, on the May 2nd meeting for the public hearing, we could have more presentations that day too. Okay. I can't imagine that it will roll into 3 days though.
Assemblymember Woods.
To Mr. Culver, you're leaving out April 17th, the work session on the subdivision ordinance? 45.
Yeah, that's not in here. This is just budget stuff. Any other regular meetings or budget, this is just dealing with those ones in bold, mostly on the second page. Just tweaks a little bit of those schedules. But the other meetings are unaffected.
So is there any problem with the... substituting Assemblymember Culver's dates for the clerk's report?
Did we get clarification, Mr. Mayor, on Member Salmon's desire on Monday evening? Is that what you are?
Right, that's 6 p.m. I'm assuming
instead of 9 a.m.?
Instead of 9 a.m., it'll be 6 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. So are we in agreement on this schedule? Assemblymember Peel.
Question for clarifications. The change was made from April 16th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Is that correct or no? 6 p.m., which will require probably a third meeting.
Should we come in at 4?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keough, I'm not quite sure how long each department has planned to present to you. I don't know the format for that. I know they're trying to make it more streamlined, so it could go a little faster than it normally does. But if we do start at 6, depending on how many questions are asked, it could roll into another day.
Assemblymember Solomon? I could go for 2 or 4.
Yeah. 2 o'clock then?
2 o'clock?
4.
Okay, whatever. 4?
I'm good with any one of them. 9 just
doesn't
work.
Now, what did the wink mean?
What did a wink mean?
So 2 o'clock?
So
4. I think I'm hearing consensus for 4 over there.
Well, with the wink. So, okay, let's get serious. 2?
I got 2.
I've been going with 2.
Okay. 2 p.m.
Mr. Manager?
A lot of this, the time spent, is really based upon what your needs are.
Yeah.
You know, the general plan was to really key on our challenges that we're facing, the changes that we're going to be seeing in the budget or recommend, and kind of highlighting on those, as opposed to this is what each department does, this is the grand scheme for the department. I'm assuming you're very comfortable with that. If you want that, we're certainly ready to provide that, but I'm not hearing that's what you need. So please let me know what you want, and that's what we'll get you. We can give you as little or as much as we give you high-level detail, high-level information so you can make an overall decision, or if you want to get down in decimal points, we can certainly do that too. But that will all really depend on how much time and effort you want to put in and how much you care about those small details.
4. I'm for 4. We're for 4.
Okay. Is there objection to 4?
We got a conspiracy going on.
And then?
So, I was just going to say, you know, we could really simplify it for the manager if we just told him what we wanted the mill rate set at.
There you go.
But this is about the school money.
Speed things up. Well, we know what the school wants now.
And then how about the manager's evaluation? Did you want to bump that up or move it later?
That didn't move.
I thought Vern had a good idea. We're going to be a little grumpy after 2 weeks of meetings.
I really don't want them grumpy. August. What do we have a regular meeting May 1st. What did you have anything earlier than May 1st?
Yeah, the school. Well, let's look and see if the changes go with me. Now we're open for May, right on May 1st, because the school district is doing their presentation on April 30th.
Okay, so May 1st, is this something they could come in like 15 minutes before the meeting and give me my evaluation?
I think that's
nice
4
try.
P.m.
That way it would not be an extra meeting.
Bring your body armor.
So,
how does that?
Tuesday, May
1st.
At 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
Okay.
And then I've got 2 quick things, Mr. Mayor. The Joint Assembly Planning Commission agenda is attached to the search report along with a piece of legislation that's getting introduced that night. And then also, I will be out of the office Tuesday through Thursday next week for bond closing, but Jamie will be here and she'll be acting on my behalf.
Very good. I'll say one thing. It's a lot easier to have meeting dates with this assembly. I thank you for that. I lost my gin. It's a nice paper. Okay, correspondence. The IM. Unfinished business. Madam Clerk, is this on the table?
Both items are on the table.
Do you want to read it into the record?
Ordinance serial number 11-148, an ordinance amending MSB 15.24.030 comprehensive plan of purposes by adopting the 2011 Rural Area Community Historic Preservation Plan into the overall rural-wide comprehensive plan.
Okay, Assemblymember Halter.
I believe Mr. Culligan continued this on. Do you want me to comment on that again real quick?
Well, you can. I mean, that's the privilege of having...
I guess basically we continued it so that the Willow Community Council could send us in something off and take it up at their agenda, which they did. That was at that meeting. Mr. Holmes left a message or note here that he doesn't think it was done right, but I just told him that it was continued from the assembly meeting so that they could review it again and send something in writing, which they did.
Okay.
So...
His contention is that it wasn't advertised.
If that's the case, if that bothers some of the other assembly members, we could set it off again and make sure they advertise it. Mm-hmm. And also, I know that there's something about the Historical Society up there, which Jim Houston's head of. I talked to him personally, and he's in support. He helped write the plan. He's in support of the plan. So, but I don't see anything in writing on him either. So. I think the plan is fairly neutral. I mean, I think a lot of the interest is that it's going to complicate somebody's private property rights. I don't believe so. It's just basically how to register and preserve historical properties. It's got a great historic. If you read these things, in the history that they talk about in the communities is incredible, including Willows and Houston's. I don't see anything that would when you implement or use it to really is intrusive or intrusive at all on people's lives or property. But I guess others could see a different view in that, too, you know, so.
Assemblymember Culver?
I'd like to see us kind of hash out some kind of compromise where we don't just throw away the whole body of work that's there, but I think Mr. Holmes had issues with the plan recommendations, so maybe the historical representative, maybe yourself, sit down with Mr. Holmes, look at some of his objectional, you know, plan recommendations. I think if that were gone, pulled out, he would probably have no problem. That's what I think his concerns are. And then we could do something with it rather than just chuck it and have to figure it out here. Maybe we can get that resolved locally.
And I would like to request, I was told that there is state law that prohibits this historic shouldn't have even started down that track, but there's something about that not in being able to infringe on private property rights. It's definitely different when it comes to public property, but I would like a report on that. Well, supposing, you know, we don't act on this tonight, but, well, regardless, I would like to know that. Assemblymember Song.
Just kind of a personal belief.
You want to pull your mic down, please?
I'm all in favor of history as long as it doesn't stand as an obstacle to progress. And that's a lot of times that's what these historical premises, you know, if you look at things that way, the entire United States is one big historical document. And this Willow's the wave of the future, and we need to be careful when we step on any rights, regardless if they're mine as a borough member or private property. I'm not in favor of restriction of use of property as a result of the premise that there's historical significance to it. Who is the question? And I've talked to Mr. Holmes and others to the far north that may or may not have attended that meeting that Mr. Halter was at, but the feedback I'm getting is that it's more or less psychological. Anything's historical. Who claims it and why and how do you prove it? And the problem comes in proving that it's not proven that it is. And so when you lay this burden of bureaucracy on top of property rights, once again, it's something that has to be removed like a wet blanket. So I'm in favor of postponing it indefinitely.
Is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's a motion to postpone indefinitely.
Can I speak to the motion?
We will discuss that. Okay. I don't think there's not a second required, is there?
No. I'll speak to that.
Okay, you may speak to it.
I would approve that motion. I looked at page 76 here, or page 1 of introductions, and the second paragraph down here, the potential direct, indirect, and cumulative impacts would be not only from development carried out as part of proposed Point McKenzie Rail Extension and Connect Harm Bridge project, but also from activities associated with other projects, such as new subdivisions, businesses, transportation arteries, and related infrastructure. And I must respond, when the DOT wants to improve the Moose Creek Bridge crossing down there, a native artifact was found within the right-of-way down there, and it's been 2 years, and they still haven't resolved that, nor have they inspected the property to see whether there's actual. And that's, to my way of thinking, this inclusion in a historical document, which is not responsible at all for us to consider if we want to move ahead with this potential development situation. So I certainly will. I would recommend, as a side issue, that the historical part of this that is written would be put into all the libraries and stuff, because it is a very good document relating some of the past history, but some of the implications here are not acceptable to me, at least. So I would move to.
Okay. Speaking for the motion, Assemblymember Culver.
I would move a secondary amendment to postpone to date certain of.
This is not amendable, but this is a motion to kill it.
It's a motion to postpone.
Not,
you cannot add a time certain?
Definitely.
Well, it would be my hope we could give them a chance to salvage it.
Well, you'll have to vote this down then.
I'd like to comment on this too, if you have a chance.
On the motion to postpone indefinitely.
Right. I'm opposed to that. I don't think it's necessary to me. We're talking about the impact of this. I just, if you don't like this plan, you shouldn't, on page 9 or 84, it says the plan and outline and format closely follows that of the 2008 Madness of Sydney Borough publication, Connect Arm Bridge and Toll Authority, Kabata Historic Preservation Plan, which basically is required by all these EIS reports. When we did the railroad spur line, they did a huge thing like it's identical to this. So if you don't like those plans, you probably don't like this plan, but you should probably like all those because that's just required. I just don't quite understand the angst against this myself, personally. I think it'll be harmful as far as private property. It just tells you how, if you have a piece of historic property and you want to register it, there's a national registry, federal registry, you do the same thing, steps how you do it. You don't have to do it. I suppose a community like Willow could protect like the old railroad depot and things like that as a community. I know they want to do their town site as a community and things like that. So basically it's just how to register it. I don't think it's just worthy of this much debate myself and worry and philosophical stuff like it's going to kill the project. I just don't believe in this. It didn't kill the railroad project. It's not going to kill the Kubota project. And any road project coming through Willow, I think it's just going to identify where areas are quickly so that you don't even have to do that.
Senator Keel.
For various reasons, including those just mentioned by Assemblymember Halter, I'm going to speak in opposition to the motion to postpone indefinitely. Frankly, I find nowhere in this, maybe I'm missing it, any infringement on private property rights. We've passed similar plans in the past. The community council has weighed in support of the plan, and I guess I have nothing else to say. I'm mildly surprised that this has generated any opposition.
Okay, well, let's not spend a lot of time saying stuff that we may want to say. Assemblymember Culligan.
Through the mayor, to
against the motion to postpone indefinitely.
Through the mayor to Mr. Halter, what is the time sensitiveness of this? I mean, I'm going to vote for in favor of postponing indefinitely unless there's some determination. I think this community needs to have the, quote, engaging conversation and make sure these people are invited. And
I don't have any problems with that. I mean, if this would stop right in its tracks right now, which I'm opposed to. If there's a continuance to have it redone at the community council level and have the Willow Chamber of Commerce do it and have the Willow Historical Society do it, and a letter goes out and says, we want to know exactly your feelings on it, then we got plenty of time.
Okay.
Too much time, probably.
Assemblymember Solomon?
To address the comment made by Mr. Halter, I'm not opposed to Willow preserving what Willow was preserved, but he made mention himself that there are currently state and federal registries. If you want to protect it, put it forward to the state and to the federal and get it on the registry, but don't stand in the way. The reason that this has taken so much time, sir, is not because this one is going to cause problems, but because other ones have. As Mr. Woods skull found somewhere, it takes 2 years to get a program off the dime. And this goes into the borough-wide comprehensive plan. You know, I'm just not in favor of having the Willow Historical Preservation Plan in the borough comprehensive plan. I think they're mutually exclusive events and need to be treated as such. So you pointed out there is a state and federal registry. Registry of historical premises there, and don't throw another layer of bureaucracy on it.
Okay, I think we've stated our positions. The motion is to postpone indefinitely, and I've heard objections, so please, can we use the board?
Yeah. Okay.
Where's my ticket?
Did you cross?
I believe I did. I voted for the indefinite postponement, right?
Hey, his light showed up when he was trying to get the voting item out. Can I get you guys to revote real quick? No. That way we can get him to show up correctly. Please.
Everybody, please revote.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Solomon, Culligan, and Woods in favor.
Wilbur, make a motion.
Okay, a motion to postpone.
I'll move to postpone this. I don't have the ordinance in front of my glasses until for 2 full months. Time to get a date certain.
Okay.
Let's get it done at May or June sometime.
We need to go to the next room then.
June 5th?
Not on the wall.
June 5th, fine.
When?
June 5th.
Okay.
Vern, can you add to your motion to request that staff formally contact and by mail and letter those entities?
And I'd like to include Mr. Covert's comments, staff.
Contact
Willow County Council, Willow Chamber of Commerce, and the Willow Historical Society for further comments and to meet in the public hearing and announcement requirements.
Okay, motion to postpone till June 5th. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Okay, resolution 12-015.
A resolution supporting Senate Bill 159 establishing the Susitna State Forest.
This was also continued, Mr. Mayor, and this is very timely tonight because I think this bill, this is a resolution support of the state that was just passed out of a resource committee down there and set the finance committee. Now it's picked up some momentum, I think, and I support the concept. It's I've been at 3 or 4 presentations, Talkeetna, of course, we've been on from the assembly. I believe you were at the Talkeetna one. It's a well thought out plan. It's been in the southeast Susitna plan. The Susitna plan, all the old Willow plans and the Valley plans that had the same forest areas in it. And I believe it'll produce more logging and better use of the natural resources quicker. It will not block pipelines, roads, mines, or anything like that. In fact, it will enhance it because it's a multiple use concept. And so I'd like to still support the state for this resolution.
Okay. Anybody want to speak to it? Assemblymember Woods and then Assemblymember Keel.
The only objection I have to this is that it gives the commissioner of the forest DNR sole authority to do whatever he pleases with that, and in this legislation it doesn't give any other opportunity for comments or anything. It delivers all the power to administrate the Forest Service to the commissioner, and having run through several commissioners of different departments, I strongly oppose that particular part by itself. The other thing that really bothers me is that DNR right now is going forward with supporting recreational properties, 5-10 acre parcels that are to be sold to individuals off the highway. And in remote areas, this opportunity would stop. When we talk to the Department of Forest personnel that was here at our last meeting, when we discussed that, he said that is true. The Forest Service will not sell individual private properties in that during that. So. With that in mind, I'm going to oppose this until some further information comes from the sole person to determine what goes on in this forest, other than the commissioner.
Mr. Mayor, Tom, we'll let you have your turn. We'll probably have two or three other things to add for Assemblymember Keogh.
I'll yield to Mr. Halter.
Well, just a Mm-hmm. Well, Assemblymember Culligan is next. Are you going to yield to him?
No.
I'm trying to avoid the tit for tat thing. We burn up a lot of time doing that. Just try to
say your speech.
Make your comments and save them up, and then maybe we can save some.
We're out of time.
I'm going to offer a. First of all, I'm in favor of the. A resolution supporting the establishment of the Susitna State Forest. And I will offer a friendly amendment that regards...
There are no friendly amendments here.
Well, I'm sure you're right. However, I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. Okay. On page 254 of the bracket, if this legislation is enacted, item B on line 7, the commissioner shall prepare a management plan for the Susitna State Forest. And so my amendment goes to some specific language that I would, if our resolution passes, that I would hope would be included, and that is that letting the Department of Natural Resources know.
This is the Senate
Bill 159.
Yeah, we've got a lot of power, but we don't have the power to amend the Senate bill.
I very much understand that. I'm going to make a friendly amendment to our resolution supporting.
What page on our resolution then?
That would be page 271 of the packet.
Okay.
On resolution serial number 12-015. And I have the amendment printed in everyone's packet, but this is for the purposes of specifically including some language in our resolution that in some ways would support the efforts of our federal former Mayor's Blue Ribbon Commission on fisheries and now our Fish and Wildlife Commission. So I'll read it. I move to amend resolution serial number 12-015, page 271 of the packet, by inserting the following be it further resolved clause. To read, be it further resolved that the Commissioner's Management Plan for the Susitna State Forest identify the many and varied uses and values of lands within the forest and provide management guidance that, if properly implemented, would maintain the health and sustainability of our forests, protect our watersheds and water quality, and maintain the habitat necessary to support healthy and diverse fish and wildlife populations.
I object.
Okay. So, you see, it isn't friendly. Even if there were no objections, it's a term that's used that is not accommodated by Mr. Roberts, I believe. Assemblymember Sommer.
I don't object to, because I believe it's a redundancy and a presumption that that's not already what the state will do. We don't have to repeat DNR's job for them or to them. And if it's added verbiage, that's unnecessary. Not because it's a bad idea, just a redundancy.
Okay, now speaking to the amendment, we had some people in line.
We have to vote on it.
Okay, there is objection, so there's no further comments. Please vote on the amendment.
Family member Arvin.
No.
It failed with Assemblymember Keough and Halter in favor.
She's on the line.
Okay. Now, Assemblymember Cungan is next, and then Assemblymember Halter.
It's Culliver, sorry.
You know, through all the testimony and listening to DNR, to me, I am supportive of Mr. Halter and other things, but this disturbs me when I have the department in front of me describing that these are already forest lands, that they aren't doing anything with them now, that they're hindered because of their own plan, that this is possibly a way to get around their existing forest development plan, to make it a forest that if there's any type of development, and I guess it was nice to say that no other development would happen, but this is also adjacent to several other economic development plans, including relocation of the capital, et cetera. When I look as a mapper at all of the lands, they're all the highlands. All the lands between are wetlands and marginally developed lands. So it's not 700,000 acres. It's probably 2 or 3 million acres total that it really affects. I would rather redirect our effort with a resolution to the DNR commissioner to get off the dime and do what they're supposed to do with forest lands and work with Mr. Halter with a friendly assembly to memorialize trails and other stuff that are impacted and move forward. I have a real problem, especially with lands east side of the highway. Those are some of those, if you're in an airplane flying around, some of those beautiful view properties that the borough or the state has. And locking them up with access and all sorts of, I just don't see this as another fix. The other really disturbing thing described by the department, and I know they're good folks and working hard, but this would then be controlled or at the advisory by state DNR advisory board over forestry, which then who's on that advisory board? To me, I wish they'd just get their stuff, feces in order, and manage those forest lands as forest lands now, and we work on the other things that need to be addressed at the borough level, or ask them to transfer all these lands to the borough so we can develop them and get them to market or whatever the possibilities. But I would ask that we postpone this indefinitely at this time and move forward and work on a different plan. And through the mayor to Mr. Halter, I'm very supportive of other activities. I just have a hard time getting my head around something that DNR should already be doing. And if the current forest, who sit in a forest development plan or whatever, is flawed, then throw it out and develop something that does work. But let's move on. Thank you.
So it's a motion to postpone indefinitely. Are we ready for the question? Assemblymember Coleman.
Just to say that I support this motion for the reasons that Assemblymember Coleman presented. I've had four very knowledgeable people about the issue call me that are opposed to it. I've had none call me in favor of it, but the reasons they gave, maybe they called assuming they were calling it too, I don't know, but his reasoning is very well taken. These are incredible view lots, and things can be done up there, and the idea of turning it over to the borough, if they want control of it and let us control it, I'd be in favor of that, and therefore I'd support this motion to postpone indefinitely. And that
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, obviously, I don't agree with the motion to postpone indefinitely because it is basically killed. But I mean, this is in Juneau. It's going through the Juneau process, public hearing process down there. So I guess everybody could probably adequately comment down there would just be whether or not the Mat-Su Borough Assembly wants to have a state forest. When your the best forest lands are identified, and this has been identified for 20 years, that's what's kind of irritating to me right now, listening to some of this stuff. We have not been able to get wood into the loggers and commercial people's hands. Mr. Bowman testified, I think you heard him, Mr. Mayor, that they can't put roads in when they need to. So this is a more sophisticated state forest. We have the town of state forest. We have the Haines state forest. There's three of them right now that are working better than ours. It doesn't tie up land, but Mr. Wood said about the recreational cabins is not true. They set aside all agriculture lands. They set aside all settlement lands ahead of time. It's the same people in DNR working on those that are working on this. They're trying to make it a little bit more applicable and a little bit easier. And some of this forest lands at the Zero Lake North, which you're talking about east going out of Willow, that's what we're logging right now. And so yes, some of it's way out west and sweating, and we're not going to get to it for years, but it is the best forest land. And then the best agricultural land was identified. The best settlement lands have been identified. I guess the road system would need more work as far as putting that in, but basically when they go in and do logging, then your access is actually increased. And it increases multiple use, not decreases it. I'm not worried about, so I think it's a win-win all the way around. And the state foresters that I've talked to support this plan because they feel like they can use the forest better, and you're preserving a renewable natural resource for the future. Exactly what you're doing here. If you don't want to preserve it pretty quick sometime in the future, maybe it's 100 years from now, we just don't have a forest left. And I just don't think that's the way to go. And there's adequate lands. They're not going to pass this on to the borough either, by the way. They'd be pretty superficial to think that they're going to pass it on to us. I mean, I guess we could ask for that, but
that was going to be my question. Why don't
we could ask
the day over when we can select these lands? Why is the state on as much or more of the borough than we do?
I actually think we'd compliment. We have so many natural resource management units ourselves. We don't have much forest lands. I actually think this state bill right now would complement that. We can get more opened up for logging and logging leases because the state and the borough work on those leases, in my understanding, and try to see if you can get multiple areas and different areas in the borough. So.
Okay, speaking against the motion to postpone indefinitely, Assembly Member Culligan.
Through the mayor to Mr. Halter. I'm hearing you, but you specifically said forest lands. These are timberlands already. They're already designated, and they are not really developing them. So what makes me have any comfort level? I would rather we work through this next year, work with DNR, and get some assurance they're actually going to develop them. They're already forest lands or timberlands without being in a national or a state forest. That's my big concern. That's the big hang-up for me. If they're not doing it now under a friendly pro-development environment, I'm a little iffy, especially when at least 50-50 of people are calling me are not supportive, then those 50-50 people can also go testify directly to the state body hearing this at a legislative level, and I don't have a great confidence it's going to make it out of the House myself. But
Mr. Mayor?
So.
Assemblymember Woods followed by Assemblymember Culligan. Arvin, I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to comment that I don't think there's some realization of how much land this we would sponsor here. There's 1,218 square miles of land that we'll lose to any activity except what is designated by some commissioner of forestry. So, end my comment. I will approve this.
On the motion to postpone, Assembly Member.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess just to bring it back to the discussion that we had with the DNR folks that came and visited. The way that the state forest lands are managed today are under the Susitna Forest Guidelines. And the forest guidelines were written some 20 years ago, and they are not conducive to, really, frankly, any utilization of the state lands, whether it be for recreation or harvest of timber. they are meant, the forest guidelines, in my opinion, and I'm very intimately knowledgeable of what are contained in that document. That document is written to preserve those lands for perpetuity with some minor use for, you know, bird syrup harvest and an occasional tree getting cut down. That is what the current Susitna Forest guidelines dictates those lands to be managed as. Designating this land as forest land, as a state forest, allows the department and the public to become involved in how those lands will be utilized on a very specific, well-managed, forward look. It will not, under the forest, under the state forest, it will not be subjective. It will not be some environmental whack job group coming over to say we're not thinking. It will not be industry coming over and saying, we want to cut all these trees down. It will be the codified document that says how the land will be utilized.
Assembly Member Arvin, could you move closer to your mic? You're cutting in and out.
Just lean into her and listen.
Just lean into it.
So, my point is, turning the designation of those state lands into a state forest does not undo private sector, does not help industry, does not help the environmental cause. It helps the state and the people of Alaska manage those lands for multi-use under a very clear doctrine, under a very clear document. So I don't really know what the opposition would be. You know, I can take it or leave it. It doesn't mean one thing or the other to me. It's a piece of state legislation. But the fact of the matter is, this will make those lands better managed. So I'm going to propose the postponement indefinitely. I don't know what the hubbub is about people being so vehemently opposed to designating it as state land. I don't get it.
Okay, you faded out there at the end, but we did hear that you are supporting the motion to postpone indefinitely after eloquently speaking for it.
So let's excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
You're not supporting the motion to postpone indefinitely?
That is correct.
Okay, I missed a word then. I'm glad we clarified that. Are we ready for the question? There is an objection, so put it on the board.
Assembly Member Arvin.
No.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assembly Member Arvin. It passed with Assembly Member Arvin, Assembly Member Keough, and Assembly Member Halter opposed.
Okay. There's no vetoes tonight. And there's no persons to be heard, so let's take a 5-minute break before our public hearing.
You're welcome. Appreciate your courtesy.
You'll notice we have a beautiful sunlit evening out there yet. 7:30.
This is the last week.
Great. Yes. We have a quorum at the table.
There we go.
So we're going to begin our public hearing without a clerk.
So the power of the clerk.
The power of the clerk. She has the gold.
Last word. Madam Clerk, we're ready for ordinance 12-044.
An ordinance approving an equal value land exchange with the state of Alaska for approximately 443 acres of borough-owned land in the Government Peak and Bald Mountain Hillside Management Units and the Hampton Pass Management Area for approximately 720 acres of state land in the Government Peak Management Unit and the Hampton Pass Management Area, and authorizing the manager to enter into a land exchange agreement with the state of Alaska to implement the land exchange. The company resolution serial number 12-029, a resolution approving a best interest finding that an equal value land exchange for certain borough-owned land within the Government Peak Management Unit and Bald Mountain Hillside Management Unit and the Hatcher Pass Management Area for the other state land within the Government Peak Management Unit and the Hatcher Pass Management Area in the best interest of the borough, MSB 006645.
Okay, we'll open this for a public hearing. Is there a sign-up sheet?
Do not have anything.
Does anybody want to speak to us on this? Seeing and hearing that we close the public hearing and bring it to the Assembly Member Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance serial number 12-044 and accompanying resolution 12-029. And if I could speak to it, please.
Sure.
Yeah, basically what this did is this ordinance does is follow through with Assembly Resolution 1189 this summer requesting a land exchange up at Hatcher Pass. Basically, the borough is getting 720 acres of land in the proposed new, where the Alpine area would be up in the 4068 Mountain region where all the research has been done has indicated these are where the lifts would be. Obtaining 720 acres up in the mountainous region in exchange for a trade for 443 acres, which is down the end of Egerton Parks Road on the west side of Government Creek. And the reason that DNR was interested in this is that it creates more of a definitive boundary to when you get into state multi-use motorized area versus the non-motorized section along what they call the South Government Peak South region. So it creates more of a fixed natural boundary. The creek becomes a boundary rather than an arbitrary line. So it's really not in the borough's, you know, current plans to do anything with this land anyway. It was obtained through the Municipal Entitlement Act. I believe, Darcy, when you were mayor, is when the land was obtained from the state or the legislature authorized the selection of this land. And so then the borough then selected these lands, and it's in the final process of getting the survey approved to where they completely own, the borough owns all interest. But basically a 2-for-1 acres almost, it's nearly the same assessed value. But what that does is merges the title in the future downhill area all under borough ownership. So it's fee simple. It's not lease. It's not, you know, within another agency's jurisdiction. So it creates a lot of options for the borough when this does develop how to use those lands. For instance, if the mountaintop now is owned instead of on a lease and you decide to put a facility like the tram station they have at Alyeska, well, that could be a private sector deal. It's set on borough land. Could be a commercial venture to generate some revenues and activity. So there's creates a lot of future opportunities when it does develop. So we had Ron Swanson under contract to accomplish these kinds of things, you know, the cleanup of the Hatcher Pass project, and this is one of the things that he had been working on. And I think the Mr. Moore is schooled up a little bit on this, assistant manager, if you had any other questions.
I've got a question. Are we potentially giving up any potential trailhead property down by Edgerton
park by giving up this lowland for the, looks like we're trading lowlands for mountaintops.
Well, the, we would still be able to do a trailhead on this state land. The state is kind of cooperating with this, and if you had received that plan that came out, they had some motorized options there. Mr. Mayor, the only issue is that if you look on this map on page 282, you see the blank, the public land with the roads in there? The only issue right now with getting into the public land is getting right away across the private lands, and we haven't had comment from those folks how they're going to be reacting to that yet. Ron had come up with a couple proposals over there that are pretty good ideas, but, you know, what do the neighbors think? And so that's, right now we're in a public comment period on those proposals. But to answer your question, no, that could still happen. It would be an interagency land use agreement, so that could still happen. And I've often thought that that seemed to be logical because we had a lot of borough lands back there, but when we just have to be able to find where we have some legal right-of-way or acquire it to achieve that goal.
Thank you. Further discussion? Are we ready for the question? Is there any objection? Don't hear any, so we just got some more land. Keeps them away. Yes. Also, Madam Clerk, 12-045.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating an additional $110,000 from the United States Fish and Wildlife Service for the Settlers Bay at Crocker Creek Fish Passage Project, Project Number 30112, Fund 410, Resolution 0 Number 12-030, Resolution approving the amended budget for the Settlers Bay at Crocker Creek Fish Passage Project, Project Number 30112.
There's nobody signed up. Does anybody want to come forward and speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-045 and resolution serial number 12-030.
You want to speak to it?
No, I just think I'm in favor of it. I lived in Sumner Bay for 25 years. Crocker Creek is, you know, popular, and I just think it's probably good for all.
Okay. Further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, passes. You know, Madam Clerk, we should change our vocabulary because our public hearings have become our consent agenda. Most of our contention is on the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, a point of order, question for the clerk. Can a motion to postpone indefinitely be reconsidered?
I do believe it can. Bear with me just a second.
I do know that a motion to reconsider can happen any time. So.
I think you have to vote in favor of the motion.
You had to.
Been on the prevailing
we
side.
We have to be on the prevailing side, indeed.
Oh.
Bear with me.
Motion to. I don't know why that would be any different than any other motion.
Yes, it can, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So bear that in mind. Did you want
to? Okay. And when would be the appropriate time on the agenda to do that, Madam Clerk?
I believe the rules allow that any time.
As long as there's no main motion pending on the floor.
As there's no main motion pending on the floor, I move to reconsider 11-148.
And that was which one?
Willow.
Okay.
Okay. Did you vote on the prevailing side?
I did. Here's my point, if I can speak to it, if it's on the floor.
You can speak to the motion to reconsider, yes. Don't debate, yeah. Don't debate the issue.
I'm not going to. The purpose...
It was postponed to a time certain, June 5th.
Yeah, I'm speaking to the motion that passed, or rather that failed to postpone indefinitely. That's what I want to bring back to the table.
Oh, no, we... okay.
What you'd end up having to do is reconsider the motion to postpone to 6-5 and then reconsider the other. I think...
Right, you can't get to the motion to postpone indefinitely until you reconsider the motion that passed, which was postponed until June 5th. Is that your desire?
No, it's not. I'll withdraw my question.
Okay, think about it. And we'll move on in the meantime. Madam Clerk?
Ordinance show number 12-046, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $150,000 from Fairview Road Service Area number 14, Fund Balance Fund 275 to Fund 410, Project number 30037, for Fairview Road Service Area number 14, Capital Projects.
Does anybody want to speak to this? We'll open the public hearing. Seeing none, close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon again.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance sale number 12-046.
Discussion. Assembly.
Mr. Mayor, I would just ask if you'd give me a little latitude on this. I had some a call today on capital projects for road service areas.
To be on this one.
Yeah, that's why I asked for just a little bit of latitude.
Well, not if it's not on this one. We could talk about stuff all over the borough.
Okay.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 12-047.
An ordinance amending MSB 2.12090D, agenda, notice of meeting, order of business.
Okay, does anybody want to speak to that? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance sale number 12-047.
Is there discussion? Assemblymember Peel?
I'm going to speak in opposition to this ordinance. This is a relatively simple proposed change, and I think the intention is a good intention to allow people who sit in our sometimes very long meetings to let them out the door earlier when we go into executive session for a meeting that may last 10 minutes or may last an hour. However, I think if we do this by placing the comments by the Assembly prior to executive session, we eliminate the opportunity for the public to hear whatever action we take following an executive session. So I would suggest that we leave things as is as far as how we set the agenda. The order of business, that is.
Assemblymember Keough, are you suggesting that we wouldn't let them stay?
No, not at all. I'm saying that if we instead of having our concluding comments at the very last act or last order of business of every meeting, if we move it ahead of executive session, we go into executive session and then we come out of executive session and take some action or. I'm suggesting that there's much less likelihood of the public staying for the meeting. So I guess I think it was a well-intended change, but my preference would be to leave the order of business as established.
Okay. I can tell you that the intent was a consideration to the public that Okay, the questions have been called for. Please, there is objection, so put it on the board.
Yes.
Yes. Moves the executive, comments ahead of the executive session.
Approves the ordinance.
Approves the ordinance.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keel opposed.
Excuse me.
Okay. Audience participation. And we do have several people signed up, and I'm looking forward to this. Mr. Beasley is first. Can come forward, state your name for the record, and then you'll have 3 minutes, and he's followed by Thomas Keller.
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is John Beasley, and I'm a Marine survivor at the Chosen Reservoir Campaign in North Korea, November-December 1950, with Colonel Chesty Puller's 1st Marines. I was Easy Company 2nd Battalion 1st, and I'm also a member of the military organization known as the Chosen Few. My mission here today is to request your support for the naming of an unnamed mountain, Mount Chosen Few. This mountain is about 28.2 miles northeast of the town of Cordova. It lies in a severe weather covered area with snow, ice, and glaciers. The environment is very similar to the Chosen Reservoir winter in North Korea in the high mountains, where the deadly Chosen battle took place between 8 divisions of the Chinese Communist Army, known as the CCA, and the United States Marine Corps, 1st Division, and the U.S. Army's Regimental Combat Team. The Chinese had orders to eliminate us, and the reason for it is we blocked their path to South Korea and the retaking of Seoul. That was the only route they had, was through Manchuria, the Yalu River, and down past UDMD, Coterie, and towns all the way down and then through the route into the southern part of Korea. We blocked it. The Fox Company at Taktong Pass gave their lives. The Rifle Company in the Marine Corps has 265 people. Fox Company at Taktong Pass came out with less than 1 or 2. The Chinese came very close to reaching their goal of annihilating the Marines and the Army Combat Team. They killed 3,000 of us, and they wounded 6,000 in less than 30 days. 75% of the remaining Marine Division suffered from varying degrees of frostbite. The Chinese CCA losses were estimated to be about 35,000 killed and wounded. 2 complete CCA divisions were no longer considered a viable fighting force and were withdrawn by the Chinese at the Manchuria. The Battle of the Chosen Reservoir was one of the worst battles ever fought by the United States Marine Corps. Those battles were Belleau Wood in World War I in France. The second one was Iwo Jima, the South Pacific, in World War II. The third was the Chosen Reservoir in North Korea, 1950. The Chosen Few membership is rapidly decreasing due to age and other things. A lot of the Marines were from World War II and the South Pacific, such as Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Vivian, Rabaul, and other islands, and now are in their senior years. The name of Chosen will gradually be forgotten over time. Our bylaws do not allow for the expansion or continuation of the organization unless the persons were at the Chosen Reservoir battle. The naming of Mount Chosen Few would provide a lasting memorial to our fallen, wounded, and survivors of that epic battle. Now, we have a verse that was written, and we don't know by whom, which our bylaws are essentially tailored after this verse. I'd like to read it to you.
I just want to, if there's no objection, I ask the clerk to turn the clock off. If you guys don't
know. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I was planning on 2 minutes per page, but it doesn't really seem to work that way, does it? This is the chosen few, and it's very heartwarming. Whatever we were in that frozen long ago, and whatever we are now, we are bound as one for life, an exclusive fraternity of honor. The only way into our ranks is to have paid the dues of duty, sacrifice, and valor by being there. The cost of joining, in short, is beyond all earthly wealth. That describes the chosen few. We're done for, man. We're out of it. A few more years and we're going to close up shop. I'd like to make a statement here, too. All of us, and this includes all of the military forces that were involved in North Korea and other branches, other parts of the country, and all of us took an oath to uphold and to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And believe me, that's what we did to the best of our ability. We want to extend our thanks for everyone here for helping us survive by naming the mountain. The mountain will always be here, but we won't. And in closing on this, I'd like to make a comment to everybody concerning the philosophic carrier, the forward airstrip at Daegu in Central Korea, and our friends in Australia. And I wrote this as a postscript to the presentation today. And we still salute the Marine and Navy Corsair pilots in the carrier and the Daegu forward airstrip. Also to the Australian F-51 Mustang pilots for the close air support skills. And believe me, these guys would make a stunt pilot set up and really take notice. Believe me, again, these guys saved our bacon, as a slang term, many, many times. We would not be here today if it was not for the Corsair pilots. With that, I'd like to close this, and I'd like to say that Earl Lilly came up with the idea of maybe saving our organization, or at least its reputation, by naming an unnamed mountain over a cup of coffee. And since that time, Earl has been running, I think, 24 hours a day and trying to gain support to have this mountain named in the honor of our chosen few patronmen, the people who paid the price, the survivors, the wounded, and everybody involved. We thank you, and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Thank you. And Mr. Lilly is here tonight, but he did not want to. Would you stand up at least, Mr. Lilly? I grew up next to him up on Lazy Mountain, and I never knew you were one of the chosen few. I'm ashamed to say it. Mr. Thomas Keller, followed by Paul Gardner.
My name is Thomas Keller. Hello, Mr. Mayor and Assemblyman. It's recently come to my attention that we have some serious issues with our road service in Matsubara. We recently have fired the contractor up from RSA 31 and replaced him with another contractor who is currently being paid $1,100 more per mile than the previous contractor for less service. And I just don't understand how that is reasonable or understandable to anyone. To pay more for less service is absolutely ridiculous. And to have a contractor come in that is already not in compliance with the contract that he already holds with the borough is absolutely absurd. Wouldn't happen in the private sector. If I owned a company and I had a contract with somebody and they were not in compliance with that contract, no way would I ever allow them to do more work for me. But we are doing it here in the borough. And we're allowing people to get financial gains through favoritism and friendship. And we are working other contractors to the bone and taking money from them through discrimination. So if this piques any of your interest, I have supporting documentation for all of this. My contact information is on the sign-in sheet there. I've looked at every RSA from 31 all the way up to Trapper Creek. Every single RSA, all 16 of them. I have about 1,500 pictures. I've taken measurements, and every single RSA is out of compliance if you go by the standards set forth by the Road Maintenance Division of the Matson Borough. They have very specific guidelines that they've set forward, and every single RSA is out of compliance. I have enough wherewithal to understand you can't fire every contractor that you have working for you, but you can behave as a government should behave and treat all of them exactly the same. That's what a government should do when they're dealing with their contractors. And it absolutely sickens me as a member of the Matsu Borough to see the borough do this to all of the contractors who have been just working to the bone this whole past winter, since it's been such a severe winter. Thank you for your time.
You will hear from us. I'm sure the manager, you've been writing, you'll be contacted.
All of my information is on the contact or on the sign-in sheet. Mm-hmm. So feel free to call me anytime, and I'll be happy to set up a meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Gardner, followed by Don Holmes.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, thank you. My name is Paul Gardner. I come to you for a concern that's been going on in the borough recently that nobody knows about. And what it is the highway plan that the Department of Transportation has between Lucas and Big Lake Road. That highway right now is designed as a median depressed four-lane, 55 mile an hour speed limit, 12 foot wide lanes, 8 foot wide shoulders. There will soon be a 65 mile an hour speed limit. There are 21 driveways and entrances into subdivisions that will not have left hand turn access in or out of their properties, which means when you pull out of your property, you can make a right, and if you want to go back to your property, you've got to make a U turn, come back, make a U turn, and return. On the other side of Pittman Road all the way to Big Lake Road, there's another 24 accesses that do not have any left-hand turn access. The Matsu Borough on October 27th had a preliminary plat meeting with the Department of Transportation, and it was a right-of-way acquisition, which was approved by your planning officer, Paul Holbert, representing or the representation of the Department of Transportation was two engineers, two right-of-way agents, and four of us from the public that was against this plan. We weren't heard. Your planning officer did not know what he was doing. And so I appealed this. And on December 15th, the appeal was heard by your planning board, who couldn't believe that they didn't know what was happening in their community. And they approved the appeal by 100%. Okay? They also told the Department of Transportation in their findings to DOT needs to seriously resolve issues relating to setbacks and accesses and before they approve the preliminary plat. Department of Transportation is right now going against that. They're proceeding forward with the purchases of their full tanks alongside the highway. They are making a few changes here and there on people's properties if they had lines drawn through the center of their buildings. Church of the Rock will no longer exist, according to the pastor, because of no parking. They're taking up a lot of properties. Businesses will be out. Some of the resulting businesses that are left won't have enough parking for storage, snow storage, or for parking. Wasilla passed a resolution on this, basically telling the Department of Transportation and the state of Alaska need to follow the rules and regulations, which they're not. I have 671 signatures from people on this petition. I'll have, within probably 2 months, 3,000 or more of people that are against this highway design. I would recommend that somebody maybe help represent us with Senator Menard, just 29th of this month, Senate committee meeting for the Transportation Committee meeting, and we really need some representation. Thank you very much for your time.
Just for your information, I have asked the city of Wasilla for a resolution before we... This is the... When did that pass?
This was December 13, 2011.
And here's that was the Planning Commission?
Wasilla,
okay.
Yes.
I asked for something from the city council before we take action. Okay. But that is a progress in work, and... We just want to make sure that along the way we've taken everybody's input.
Thank you. Can I leave these signatures here?
Just leave it with the clerk. Mr. Holmes, Mr. former Assembly Holmes, followed by Brian Henry.
Thank you for allowing me back in the chambers again. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly and staff. I have two subjects I'd like to talk to you about real quick. I have not been able to succinctly state my opposition to this Willow Comprehensive Plan. I'd like to read to you something that's in it that is very important. The Willow Comprehensive Plan and the Houston Plan that you voted down is a model plan that is to be used to establish the procedures for historical planning in every district within the borough. It is much more onerous than you think it is. It says, whereas the Willow Area Historic Preservation Plan helps fulfill needs identified in the 2003 assessment of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough's 1987 Historic Preservation Plan, and whereas the plan will be used as a document to assist in creating a complete borough-wide historic preservation plan that will incorporate other districts within the borough. That's what you're voting on. If you want the rules and regulations that's proposed in this Willow plan, then that's the guidelines for the rest of the borough. The other subject I'd like to talk to you about is the Susitna Forest Plan. I've looked at it, and it rang a bell. Didn't make much difference one way or the other to me, other than my history with state forestry plans has been bad. The only areas that seems to be available for forestry are areas outside those forestry areas. When the Capitol site was approved way back in 1976, 64,000 acres were set aside and designated as capital site lands. Part of this is in the plan is in it, and that the borough actually filed on that as a second claimer on that land should that designation ever be removed. So instead of supporting or talking about that, I think you should ask the manager to go back and take a look at each one of those sections proposed and see if the borough has filed prior claim on those lands. Because in effect, I think what you would be doing is giving up permission to the state or to take those lands. So I think we've already filed on them. I could be wrong. It could have been changed. It was a long time ago, back in the 80s. So to my knowledge, it was still designated capital site lands. It may even be a move by people to undesignate that site. So I think it's important that you take a look at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think Assembly Member Holmes is one of the only Assembly people that turned out twice.
I did what?
You turned out twice, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Some people are gluttons for punishment.
Spent a lot of time in this room.
Mr. Brian Hendel, followed by Steve Brennan.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Brian Hendel. I'm the president of Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council. I am here speaking on my own behalf tonight, not as the president of the community council, just so that's made known. I want to tell you a little bit about our community council meeting because we wanted to bring up the mayor's proposal on the land. And I'll give you some statistics on the numbers, and then I want to present my opinion. We had 70 community members showed up at one time or another. Some came late, some came early. We had 56 counted votes as a high, meaning, you know, there were so many opposed, so many for. Counted, there was 56 of them as a high. There was 44 as a low throughout the meeting. So there was I don't think there was ever 70 members present at one time. I called and emailed about 31 people. I called and emailed 31 people who were on the attendance list at the meeting that evening. 30 were in favor of the mayor's proposal. One did not respond.
Could you clarify which proposal?
I think it was...
Is this on the property owners?
The property owners, yes.
For membership?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I don't remember the number, but mm-hmm. it was specifically about the property owners, right? And whether property owners could vote in, if they live within Alaska and could vote within the borough, vote within the borough and vote within Alaska, that they could, if they own land, that they could vote, if they own land, that they could vote on that land, even though they didn't live in the community council. Okay. So, 30 were in favor of the mayor's ordinance, and one did not respond. I did not call anybody that I believe was not in favor. I just wanted to find the numbers that were in favor so that, because I perceived that I'd be able to find enough people that were in favor of this this measure, this ordinance here. With 30 people in favor at the meeting and the highest vote counted being 56, it's very likely that the community would be in favor of this ordinance. I would guess that there would be at least 12 to 16 people that would have voted against this measure, this ordinance. The votes listed, we had 23 to 26, a motion to amend the agenda, which failed. 44 to 12, a motion to change the name, which passed. 33 to 13, to postpone limiting the use of revenue sharing money, which passed. That failed, I think. Motion to extend the meeting time, and that failed. So it's my opinion, based on the numbers that I gave you, that the majority of the community would be in favor of your ordinance.
So why didn't you vote on it?
We ran out of time at the meeting. Thanks for offering that question.
Thank you very much. Steve, followed by Neil Snyder.
Listen, in respect to your time here this evening, Brian pretty much said everything I wanted to say, so I can only say what he said again.
Okay, that was from Steve Renner, for the record. Neil, Mr. Snyder.
However, Neil Allen Snyder, for the record. I've been going back and forth with the due process problem with the Metternich to set in the barrel. What is that pounding?
Because you're speaking too close to the mic.
Yeah. Back away from the mic a little bit. There you go.
Right there?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I got in a spat with Dave Donovan, who's the assessor, and he sent his agent Smith out to reappropriated the real property. Anyway, I asked Mr. Smith if he had a license to do what he did, and he he said to me straight up, no. Well, every other place that has assessment people, and if they're part of government, they have to have some kind of a license. Otherwise, government is a corporate fiction, and corporate fiction, that's how it exists. That's how the public, say for instance, I wanted to run him off. That would be my point, is that he voided his license because he didn't have one. Anyway, I brought this issue up with Dave Donovan, and the problem with Dave Donovan is that he sits back in his office with no easy access to him. You cannot walk up to this public official and say, Dave, I've got a problem with this. Can we talk about this? He doesn't want to talk about it. So you got two people here, and then what happens is that they convolute something in a shake and bake mode. Then they send a memo to Tammy Clayton, and then Tammy Clayton sends one out to another office. What? And I can't remember her name. Anyway, one of the memos goes to me. The other one goes to Eric Smith. Well, when it gets to Eric Smith, my point is that where does Eric Smith have anything to do with anything? Where's his license? Nick, maybe you can answer that one. Do you got a license, Nick?
This isn't a question and answer session.
Anyway, that's where it sits now. No license. And then they just got through sending me an upgrade, you know, of, oh yeah, well, we made a mistake. The problem with fraud is that fraud starts now. But what about the other years that this whole thing's been ongoing that, you know, this is a cure up here?
You're aware that you have the right to appeal to the Board of Equalization?
Am I aware?
I'm asking you. That is your cure when you're not satisfied with the tax assessor.
Oh, I see.
Oh, so, that's if you want, I can tell you how to do that. Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks, Larry.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak to the assembly? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close audience participation. And bring it back to the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, would you read in what's left of the consent agenda?
Sure will. Resolution 0-12-033, a resolution amending the scope of work for animal control building project number 10151, and the animal care building project number 10176, to allow for facility and equipment repairs at the animal shelter. Resolution 0-12-034, a resolution amending the budget for the Capitol Fire Service Area Protective Clothing project number 45238, and Capitol Lake FSA Station 13-1 project number 45253. Resolution 0-12-035, a resolution amending the scope of work for the purchase of a backhoe and storage shed at the Big Lake Transfer Site, project number 25048. Resolution 0-12-036, a resolution approving the amended scope for the replacement of custodial equipment phase 2 to include the purchase of any custodial equipment or supplies, project number 47505. Resolution 0-12-039, a resolution supporting adoption of House Concurrent Resolution number 24 regarding the establishment and operation of a state food resource development working group. AM number 12-013, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications. AM number 12-022, authorization to amend a board of solicitation 12-043, Construction Machinery Incorporated, and the amount of $157 for the purchase of an additional wheel loader and snow bucket for the Goose Creek Correctional Center. AM number 12-028, authorization of amendment number 2 to contract 08124 to Rise Alaska Incorporated and an amount not to exceed $229,043 for Goose Creek Correctional Center closeout services. AM number 12-029, award of bid number 12-082 to Brad's Wifel Company Incorporated and the contract amount not to exceed $210,133.44 for Palmer Ambulance Station 39 renovations.
Okay, that's the consent agenda. Mr. Solomon?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Okay. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda passes, and then we've got three that were pulled. Yes, AM 12-027. Oh, we're going to go in the order of the. Okay, I'll let you take charge then because I didn't.
It'd be resolution serial number 12-037, a resolution approving the pending $93,941.26 financial responsibility for the end of the sickness.
Member Colbert,
that one.
Okay.
Member Colbert, I move resolution serial number 12-037.
You want to speak to
it? Yeah, it's. I think now that the boat's coming home to
to roost,
this day is finally reckoned upon us, where we have to start picking up the tab for this thing, and so basically this is 2 months. Security duty tied up in Boards Co. for $93,941.26. Oh, we need a better plan than this, folks. I mean, this is good for our interim 2 months while I understand the Navy and ourselves are working out the last details of an agreement on when title would occur and when we take ownership of the ship. But meanwhile, we are obligated to take over the financial obligations that the Navy has incurred up to this point since it's been constructed. But I think our manager's been well aware of this issue, this financial liability. We're not getting any use out of it. I hope we come up with a plan, I guess. My thoughts are that we run it up to Seward and dry dock it. We don't have to put it in security if we got it in a fenced yard that's already got security guards or something. Because I don't think if we're not employing it into a ferry service because we don't have appropriate landings to do that, and we don't have a mechanism to employ it into other service because of the grant restrictions by the FTA until we get that ironed out, we're kind of in a holding pattern here. And maybe the manager or the attorney might elaborate on what kind of options we have, or we'll have those forthcoming, but I think we need a plan A, B, and C for when 2 months runs out, what that's going to be. And I think we should have some reserves because we budgeted a substantial sum for this boat and title, or taking ownership or possession, if you will, is much later than we thought. So we should have some funding there that if we want to move it north, we could charter a crew and get it leased up here. So I look forward to healthy debate and plan A, B, and C.
Assembly Member Solomon.
Although I agree with everything Mr. Colbert said, I don't think it's relative to passage of this particular resolution this evening. This is an either-or must-do, and I recommend that Mr. Colbert, or with myself, or Mr. Colligan, or the manager, bring something before with a plan A, B, and C, rather than reconcile that this evening. I highly recommend that, but I also highly recommend it to the questioner. This particular resolution.
Okay, the question's been called for. Is there objection to closing debate?
Objection.
Okay.
Yeah, I object.
Okay, so put it on the board. Yes, closes debate. No, keeps it on the floor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it has failed with Assemblymember Solomon. All three in words in support.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin, you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, you know, I guess there's value in calling the question because it's easy to kick this thing down, you know, kick this down the road time and time again. This issue has been languishing for years, and we have had substantive and pointed discussion about what is the resolution with this albatross that the residents of the borough have been saddled with. And I don't see it. I want to know what it is. Because I'm not going to support paying $50,000 a month to park this thing in Southeast Alaska.
Well, that is not the indefinite plan. Mr. Manager, do you want to speak to this?
Yes, I do.
You can speak to it whether you want to or not.
What's the plan? Thank you, Mayor, for that consideration. I appreciate it. We have spent quite a bit of work trying to understand our obligation, especially through our work of our borough attorney's office. And essentially, we have, it's two-pronged. Number one, a responsibility to own our the Navy and our obligations for that, and there's four phases for that, and it can kind of go into detail. Essentially, for consideration of them designing and, constructing the boat and paying for that, we are obligated to really give them data out of from the use of this boat. So to have it sit out of the water and not being used, we are obligated to have it in use. The second part is the money that we've received for the grants for the ferry service between Port McKenzie and the municipality of Anchorage. That is approximately $20 million that we're obligated for unless we provide those services. So given those two items, we have been working diligently the past 10 months that I know of, for a fact, trying to find opportunities for that. And we have been shaking every tree. But right now, we're essentially looking at how do we have an impact on FTA to loosen our reins on providing a ferry service between Port McKenzie and Anchorage. Because we all know that we need an extra $30 million for the landings just to start the ferry service, and then we have to get into the business of starting ferry service, and that's not going to happen for a while. So we're looking for, at a minimum, an interim use. So we have been talking to different opportunities. Right now, we have been working on the Navy actually using the ferry for some work in the Gulf. They're looking at protection and patrol in the Gulf, and there's a possibility they will keep it for this, but they need to do their due diligence. And from my understanding, they have sent four of their agents up there to look at it. They've sent a designer up there to actually be there and design how they would use the ship. So they are putting money into that design, and they're working on funding right now. We do have two private companies who are very much interested in the boat for specific opportunities. One has a connection with Shell, also two for the exact term, but going into through Alaska to port areas and do the type of graphical bottoming information that they need. And then there's also other type of service. But those things take some time to kind of go through. So our concern with that is to do any of that, we have to get approval from FTA. We have talked with our federal legislators about the issue. They are working on this. I would love to say we have a solution today, but we don't. But the 2 months, we believe, will get us to the next step where we need to be. I can't guarantee that in 2 months I'm not coming back and saying, hey, we've got to do two more months or six months, but we do have some big obligations for this, and simply by saying we're not taking it doesn't relieve us of our obligations. In fact, I'm hoping with use of the boat, we can really offset any costs that the borough is going to have. From my understanding, we were supposed to accept this boat last June, and then it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And why it's been getting pushed back, we have not had to incur any costs. And so the point, whoever made the point, we do have money budgeted for that. However, they have run out of money. There's been a sale in ownership, and they are no longer willing to kind of carry us financially. So it's time that we have to put money into this. I wish I could tell you that we could allow somebody to keep the boat and it would not cost us anything to do so, but that's not the case. We have some obligations that we've already agreed to. And I think I probably spend more time on this single issue than any other issue that I have here at the borough. So the effort is there from the limited staff that we have.
And I can verify that. You're not the only one that's been putting time on this. Assemblymember Colligan, followed by Assemblymember Solomon.
Through the mayor, I have two questions for the manager, and then I'd like a follow-up comment. Manager Moosey, this seems to be half the amount that we were talking about monthly. This is for 2 months. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Are we taking possession of the boat?
We are not taking title to the boat.
I call for the question.
Okay, we'll try once more. Is there objection to closing debate?
Objection.
There's still objection, so put it on the board. Yes. Stop debate.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay, debate is closed. Please vote now on the resolution.
Assemblymember Arvin. Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
It passed with Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Okay.
Next item is resolution serial number 12-042, a resolution supporting the naming of an unnamed mountain in Alaska, memorializing the soldiers who fought and died in the Chosen Reservoir campaign in 1950.
Okay, I pulled this. I'm going to ask Assemblymember Solomon. We got educated a little better on the exact names that we should have used for the personnel involved in the, I call them the Frozen Chosen, but it's the
Chosen Few.
The Chosen Few.
Is that a request to move that, Mr. Mayor?
So please move it, and then we've got an amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 12-042.
And then if you would move this amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I move to amend resolution serial number 12-042 to replace the word soldiers throughout the legislation and replace it with the words allied armed forces personnel.
That is the correct language. Is there objection to that? There's no objection. So is there a discussion? That's the only reason we pulled it. Is there discussion? Assemblymember Keough.
I'd just like to make one comment, and that is thank you, Mr. Beasley and Mr. Lilly, for being here. And I'd like to part of the process for naming unnamed physical features. In this case, it would be on federal lands. But the initial step is to go through the Alaska Board of Geographic Names, and on the presumption that that would be that their suggestion would be accepted and move forward, and then it goes to the United States Board of Geographic Names, which is part of the Department of the Interior. But I'd just like to personally offer my help to, if needed along the way. I have an interest in geographic names, and I've known some of the players involved in those in the past. So if needed, please feel free to call on me if I can help in the process.
We thank you very much. We may have to do that.
Thank you. It's a long process, but I don't see any problems here. You're doing the right things. The more support you can bring from the community, the easier it'll go. So is there objection to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, it passes unanimously.
Next one is AM number 12-027, awarded bid number 12-088 to Downland Construction Incorporated in the contract amount of $1,360,335 for the Academy Charter School classroom expansion. And that was Assemblymember Arvin who pulled that.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon, would you move that, please?
Mr. Mayor, I move AM number 12-027 for approval.
Assemblymember Arvin, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess my hope is tonight we can put a bow on this and be done with it. There are some huge opportunities for us here with respect to award of this contract, but we're not quite there yet. For a little bit more money, we can have double the classroom space that was anticipated when the money was first sought from the legislature. And I'd like a staff report, either procurement or public works, to come forward and walk us through that process and what additional monies are needed to award the entire objective such that we can end up with 10 classrooms in that school rather than 4. Additionally, I'd like to remind the body that the residents of the borough passed a significant school bond last fall, and as it turns out, the monies that the public passed with respect to charter schools are not being funded by the state. So I think because we have overperforming schools and they are providing an excellent opportunity for our kids to learn, although my children do not attend charter schools, I'm talking in holistically the children of the borough, I think that we can step forward and we can help move this education delivery along and do something that will benefit the school and the education of the students of the borough. So I'd like to find out what the additional amount of money is needed to accomplish the big picture and put a bow on this thing tonight and see if we can modify the award amount and be done with that.
Mr. Manager. Ms. O'Neill.
To Assemblymember Arvin through the Mayor, Sean O'Neill, Public Works Director, if you will cut me a check for $342.840, I will build Academy Charter School with alternates 1, 2, 4, and 5. 342,840.
$342,840.
Sorry.
I was so excited at the prospect of
getting that check. We almost had it. Manager, we have discussed about using some borough funds to advance a good portion of that money and then have that paid back through the operations over, I believe, the next 6 years. And so we would, if this base bid is approved, we would come back very shortly, I mean really shortly, within the next meeting or two. Nick's wrinkling his eyes here.
You've got all of us rolling our eyes here.
For approval of the additional work that was bid, the options.
So how do you generate revenue with operations?
From my understanding, and I mean we have the principal here, there is some room for my understanding in their annual operating budgets that would allow that to transpire. The bids came in very well. The time is right for that, and I think they would like to see this happen very much.
Assemblymember, Mr. Mayor?
Okay, yeah, you had the floor, and then Assemblymember Culver. And Assemblymember
Well, I'll just be very brief. You know, this procurement of the build-out at Academy was, as the members will recall, was a bit of a hybrid between design build and hard dollar. And we have what is, I think, a very fruitful process that is going to yield the best dollar or the best product for the borough. Now, bearing that in mind, this project is not 100% designed yet. So unless we deliver what the 100% design objective is to the apparent low bidder, and we award this base amount tonight, the thing could take on a life of its own and ultimately end up costing a little bit more money. So if there is a mechanism by which the manager suggests that he could bring forward in a couple weeks, I don't want to delay this, but I want to make sure that this is done correctly. If we can do that tonight effectively, or we can do that 2 weeks from tonight effectively, I just want to make sure that that's the path we're headed down.
Okay, Mr. Manager, would you...
I would like to that. I'd like Sean when you're up to the
okay.
Chair, please.
Assembly Member Arvin to the Mayor. The bid documents required the contractor to hold their alternate prices for 60 days, and we believe that the remaining funds can be secured within that 60 days, which will guarantee the prices on the bid documents for the remaining alternates. So we will not, as long as all the stars continue to line up, we won't be placed in a position of having the alternates take a life of their own and become exorbitantly expensive.
Okay, Assembly Member Colbert, followed by Assembly Member Keogh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank staff. They've been very helpful trying to kind of create this hybrid process where we got an in-house design, put it out to the street for a hard dollar construction design build, basically. Finish out the design and build it. So like Mr. Arvin has previously spoken, for approximately $350,000, they'll get double the classrooms, go to 10 classrooms. And the way I understand how this is supposed to work is the finance director is supposed to bring an ordinance forward to the assembly. We have two steps. We have introduction and then action. To would be like a service area loan, like we loan to road service areas. It would be a loan from a borough fund to the charter school, and then they would pay about $50,000 a year out of their operating costs to pay off the loan. And Ms. Jard will probably has indicated she may have some funds left over this year and maybe next year as well to lower that debt amount. So it may be less than that $350,000 what they need to borrow, but this will help them get there. And so in a short-term payoff, it's a win-win. They can award the contract. We just have to make sure that we uphold our end of the deal and get the legislation before here. And so the second meeting, then we'd concurrently award the remaining alternates and approve the loan. So that's how I understand. Staff could correct me if I'm wrong, if we're still on track. I know we got a bond closing, Tammy, but are we going to be introing this the next meeting?
Your attorney, could you express your facial expressions in words?
Okay, you're talking about... The charter school is part of the school district. Their budget is set by the school district. If they have extra monies that they want to turn around and give back to the borough, I guess they're free to do it. If you're going to loan money to a charter school is not an independent legal entity. If you want to appropriate funds and hand it to them, that's one thing. But to turn around and say it's a loan, I'm not... it would take me some time to look into that. I'm not so sure that's legal, quite frankly. You're talking about building a public infrastructure building. It would be like saying you're going to loan money to a library. The general fund is just going to make a loan to the library, or you're not talking a COP or something like that where it's bond payments obligated. You're talking about the borough acting as a financing agent in and of itself. Are there going to be remedies for non It could be remedies for non-payment. I mean, these are all the things that I'm thinking of when you're talking about loaning money to a school. Are you, we going to go repossess the school if they fail to make payment?
Yes. Make payment on a borough building.
Yeah, it's a borough building.
A public building with public funds. It's because the school district is separate. I mean, the reference you made to loaning monies and some of the accounting principles that are used vis-a-vis service areas, you know, the Supreme Court has already ruled service areas aren't an independent legal entity. They're just part of the borough. It's just a geographic area where special services get used, and they're all 100% under the control of this body and the manager. Service areas are. Schools are not.
Manager,
so I'd have to look into it.
Our list here.
I understand the obligation if they default, what happens. I think we have five new borough offices. I'm just joking about that. But the assembly gives money to the school district. It cannot direct, they give certain monies to certain charter schools. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we could not withhold $50,000 from the school. We could withhold anything we wanted to from the schools. But we can't, that would not impact Academy Charter.
No, because the by state law, charter schools have to get the minimum funding is the state contribution to the school district. So, I mean, the charter school would be funded, would be funded through the school district. I've never heard of a loan from the borough to the school district or the borough to a school.
Have you heard of a gift from a school to the borough?
Well, no. I mean, their budgets lapse. If they have a fund balance at the end of the year, it lapses. That was one of the discussions earlier tonight. It used to lapse 100%, then now it lapses 50-50, or, you know, that changes every couple of years. I'm trying to conceive of how such a thing would work. Again, you have the entire school district, and it's kind of reflected in a memo I wrote earlier this year. The school district set up separate from the borough creates an institutional tension by design that the borough is not... To specify how the schools spend their money. If you want to build a bigger school for them, you certainly can. I just don't know that you can do it through a loan to the school district to say, well, you have to pay it back now.
Okay, well, that makes it simple. Okay, next is Assemblymember Keogh, followed by Assemblymember Ault.
Culver. No. No, talk to me.
Thank you. I've been supportive of Academy Charter, and I appreciate the product they deliver in the way of the knowledge and ability of students that comes through the system. But in addition to the legal question raised by Mr. Spiropoulos, which is a significant one, some of the questions that I would have for you, Mr. Manager, are some of the same ones that I had mentioned earlier to Ms. Gerard in a meeting with her. So the question is, where specifically would these funds, $350,000, come from? Where specifically would it come from? That's one question. The other one is, this is, as far as I can determine, and I've asked a few people, this would be a precedent-setting way of doing business between the assembly in the school district, and if we make a loan for $350,000 to Academy Charter, who's next in line? Will there be other charter schools that approach us for $200,000 here or $500,000 there? So that's another concern that I would have. So while certainly, as presented by Ms. Gerard, and it looks like there'd be a great bang for the buck as far as improvements, wind up getting 5 classrooms or 10 classrooms instead of 5. That's good at relatively good value, but I think this is not a simple equation.
I'm gonna
either ask a motion to be put on the floor. We're discussing something that's not in the resolution.
Yeah, let's just vote on this and we'll move on.
So Mr. Mayor?
Either make a motion to amend so we're actually doing business, or we'll be hypothesizing all night. Or debate the main motion. I've heard no objection to the main motion.
I call for the question.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Assembly Member Arvin?
Yeah, I would make a motion to increase the award amount, sufficient dollar amount as mentioned by Ms. O'Neill earlier, and turn to Tammy Clayton to identify which fund balance that could come out of.
Okay, now we're legal. There's a motion on the floor to increase the award amount by $342,000. What's the exact amount? Did anybody write that down? Madam?
342,840. And I'd like to speak to it very briefly.
Okay, while Ms. Clayton's coming forward, you can speak to it.
I just want to remind everybody at the table and the public that the borough provides no per pupil allocation to charter schools. Only money they get is from the state. So this is not like a unique scenario whereby a charter school is getting preferential treatment over and above a conventional brick and mortar school student allocation of dollars total. This is an attempt to try to give them a little bit more tooling to be even more successful in the education delivery system that they are providing. So I would ask for support from the members for this.
Okay. Speaking to the amendment.
Yes, I'm speaking.
Member Halter,
I'm speaking in favor of it and have it let Ms. Clayton come up with the financial plan. I know we did basically the same thing for the, I think it was a community center, and we had to add
$1,000 money.
The exact same issue. We got the job done, so.
Yeah.
All right. Madam Clayton?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Two things. One, a potential source of funds could be the site selection reserve that will take legislation. I don't see, and I'll defer to Nick. The second thing, I don't know how they can amend this up to the higher amount at this time when we don't have the money in place to award the additional $300,000. Because this is actually awarding for $1.3 million, which is all that we have the money in place for.
So you're suggesting we would need to postpone this until we designated money by ordinance?
No. Well, and Nick, please correct me if I'm incorrect here. Money is in place for $1,360,000, so that could be approved. But the additional $300,000, there's no money in place at this time. Not that it can't not be in place, but it would take legislation.
Okay, Assemblymember Colligan, followed by Assemblymember Solomon.
I would like to move that we pass the ordinance as is tonight and direct the manager to immediately work with Ms. Clayton and finance to resolve this issue for the full amount to bring back to our next meeting and pass.
You're speaking against the amendment?
Correct. I would like to move on, get this passed tonight, and have them directed.
We've got an amendment in front of us.
Okay.
Let's
vote the amendment.
Would there be objection to withdrawing the amendment so it doesn't apply for?
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, I don't have a problem withdrawing the amendment, but I just want to, finally, my final comment is the appropriation from the state was $1.5 million. So when if anybody is thinking that this is a total add-on of $340, it's really not. It's an add-on of $200 and some change, unless I'm unless I'm mistaken. So I don't have a problem withdrawing my amendment, but I appreciate Mr. Culligan's comments, and let's award this tonight and bring it back and modify it here in a couple weeks, and ask Ms. O'Neill to hold the contractor at bay with respect to design effort, so we get the strongest bang for the buck, and when they have the full amount, they can rock and roll and get it built.
So is there objection to withdrawing the amendment? Hearing none, we have before us the main motion. Assemblymember, while we had a summon, do you still want to speak?
I think we've talked it out. I'm surprised that it took us so long to get at Mr. Culligan's conclusion. You know, this should have been decided before tonight. Not a $350,000 add-on tonight on the consent agenda. It isn't that it can't be done. It isn't that it shouldn't be done. It's the process under which it's attempting to be done. And Steve's, from the moment we started talking about what to do, that was the answer. But it took us forever to get there. That's all.
The irony is that this project was withdrawn from bid once so that we could do everything exactly right.
Exactly.
And we find ourselves here. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, basically we're charting new territory. I mean, there's not, I don't know of any other district that has publicly owned funded charter school facilities on public land. We are the cutting edge, and we're figuring it out here a little bit on the fly. And I guess we've got to involve our attorney more early on in these meetings when assurances are made. I feel like I got egg all over my face on that one. But, hey, we're going to figure it out. So this is one way where we bring everybody along through the process as we create the process. But Ron did mention an important thing. The district withholds the almost $3,000 per student in local contribution that they were so eloquently pitching for here today for us to increase. Not one nickel goes to this school of over 200 kids. You're talking about $500,000 that never lands in that school. So, I mean, it's not like we're trying to direct funding, or we just want to treat all the kids the same. And there is some inequities going on, and we're not going to get into that, but in the end, I think we'll get this done. It may not have been as clean as we wanted, but we'll get her done.
I wasn't being critical. I was not throwing eggs. I wanted to know.
Yeah, no worries.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I just wanted to ask that we pass this unanimously tonight, that we are all in support of this, but we do direct the manager to figure out the second piece of this, so there's no question that we're all in support, and call for the question. Thank you.
Okay. Is there objection to the resolution? I haven't heard any all night. We've just been trying to figure out how to make it better.
Okay.
So it does pass unanimously, and we are finally through our consent agenda. What's your pleasure? Yeah, we're pretty close to being done, so let's go for it. Madam Clerk, the introductions.
Due for introduction for public hearing on April 3rd, Ordinance Bill Number 12-048 with accompanying Resolution 12-040, Ordinance Bill Number 12-049, Ordinance Zero Number 12-050, Ordinance Zero Number 12-051, with accompanying Resolution 12-041, Ordinance Zero Number 12-052, Ordinance Zero Number 12-053, and Ordinance Zero Number 12-054.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for April 3rd of 2012.
Okay. Is there objection? Hearing none, we now move to the vacancy report.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the mayor's recommendations and resignations up to the confirmation this evening as follows. From the Board of Equalization, David Heyer, Borough Area School Site Selection Committee, Warren Keel, Emergency Medical Services Board, Jalen Van Nice, resignation of Jalen Van Nice upon confirmation to the prime position. Enhanced 9/11 Advisory Board, Thomas Hood, resignation of Thomas Hood upon confirmation to prime position. Port Commission, Jordan May, Alpine RSA number 31, George Rauscher.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keogh.
This is a body of
to the mayor and the clerk, just a procedural question here, since I'm up for confirmation as the alternate to the school site selection committee. I could move to divide the question or just recuse myself from the poll vote. What is your recommendation?
I'm trying to remember. Usually when, because it's a lump full sum, I don't believe that you should be recusing yourself. I don't recall members in the past recusing themselves. Do you recall that? I'm sorry.
No, I
haven't even thought of it.
Through the mayor, to some of Murkio, this seats on this board are limited to assembly members. So by definition, only assembly members could vote. We've always taken the position that means you don't have to recuse yourself.
It's not a conflict of interest. It's a voluntary torture.
So is there any objection? Seeing and hearing, then it passes. Really, this is your chance to reconsider, not your last chance, but if anybody has second thoughts about what they've done tonight.
Not my last chance.
I know that. So, there's no executive session. We will begin with our comments. And Mr. Attorney, could you speak about certified tax assessors, possibly? Is there such a thing?
I don't know if there is a certified tax assessor
or a certification.
Certification under Title 8 or not.
Will you research that?
Whether or not a assessor for a municipality or an appraiser, more accurate, there is one assessor.
Uh-huh.
And then there are multiple appraisers.
Okay.
And whether they have to be certified by anybody,
uh-huh,
I can look.
Thank you.
So other than that, I want to assure Assemblymember Culver I didn't mean to put egg on anybody's face with their comments. Okay.
That's it. I do appreciate that. Help us try to do it right. Mr. Manager?
Since I was involved in editing, no, I don't have any other comments. Madam Clerk?
I don't have any.
Okay. Assemblymember Culver?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I went to Washington, D.C. for 3 days last week. I attended a transportation and infrastructure conference and then spent a few hours on the phone with you all in our last meeting. There were some excellent speakers. The main issue was the transportation reauthorization bill that's in Congress. Some serious differences between those two bills. The House bill reallocates 2.5 cents to the Highway Trust Fund out of mass transit. To the chagrin of many urban legislators, even in the House majority. The House measure uses revenues from federal lease sales, offshore oil revenues, to fund a five-year bill. And the problem is that the fuel and gas tax hasn't kept up with inflation. When it was set in 1991, the consumption in the U.S. is declining. And the per-gallon tax is just not getting it done. It's just so there's basically 2 years of funds left, and that's why the Senate is doing a two-year bill. They haven't created any mechanism to re-energize or refund the trust fund, so it's only good for the 2 years of money that's allocated or available for allocation. Listen to Chairman Micah of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, the Chairman Micah. He was pretty much frustrated about, said there's no consensus on a five-year bill yet, and they're still fighting on, I think, on that over there right now. Numerous congressmen spoke. A real interesting guy was, his dad had been a congressman, I found out. I checked him out, did some research, named Duncan Hunter from San Diego, and he was right on our issues. He's in favor of the oil revenues to fund the transportation bill, which would benefit Alaska and also, he's in favor of earmarks. And that's basically the reason why the House can't get the votes for the bills, because there's no specific projects in each member's district. There's no earmarks allowed in any bill. Some of the information that was presented, one guy who was a professor and is an airport manager, he said that he has a commuter airport that he manages. He says, in the future, there will be high-speed rail in this country for distances of 500 miles or less that will replace commuter air in your urban sectors. I would imagine there'd be Texas and California, be much more efficient, cost effective, and then that's where he is, thinks that that's where the future is going to be. An economist spoke, and he talked about how oil affects our economy, and that just since 2000, the amount of energy cost per family has gone up from $2,000 to $4,000 per family, wiping out the tax reduction, you know, that went through a few years ago to the middle class. It pretty much wiped out the tax savings for most folks. And since 1980, we've only added 4% of capacity on our nation's highways, but we've had an increase in traffic of 104%. Our trade deficit is 50% made up of imported oil. But yet, if domestic productions increased, let's say 2 million barrels a day, he stated, that Saudi Arabia would simply turn the taps down to offset that increase of production to keep that price high. That it's a macro market, doesn't give us a whole lot of hope of what we do independently on the price of oil, that it's such a global price structure that it wouldn't have much effect. One of the big things of what I did back there is kind of kick off this, what are we going to do with the ferry? The big problem is that earmarks are not happening. Anything that's in a bill that looks like an earmark that would propose to give us some relief, no state can have any specific language in any bill, either house. And so they tell you, yeah, it'd be great, but we can't do specific language to relieve you from your obligations or any kind of amendment of any, unless it pertains to the whole program, it can't happen in this Congress. So basically what I did is I met with staff members from each of our delegation with Carl Oles and Jack Ferguson of our North Star group, our legislative liaisons there. They were very helpful. And working on some flexibility on what we can use the ferry for. The grant conditions are that it be run as a ferry between Anchorage and Point McKenzie, and as you well know, that we don't have that capacity as originally envisioned when we went down that road, is how many cars we're going to carry and the economics of scale, and we don't have the ferry landings because the political landscape and the issues of earmarks and whatnot, that's just not feasible right now. So it's an ongoing issue of what to do with the our hands are tied under these grants with FTA. So we need some relief from those conditions in order to even have the flexibility to employ that boat with another entity, such as an oil field service company or whatnot. So that is the ongoing issue that the manager and the attorney are working on with our D.C. lobbyists. And as we saw come roost tonight in that appropriation, but kind of being there really helped kind of kick that conversation off, and there was numerous phone calls back with the manager and the attorney, conference call, and I assume they could tell you that they're working on that on a regular basis now to keep that that ball in play. So it was a short but productive trip, and the only other thing I have to mention is I got a call from a Road Service Area 25 supervisor, former borough assessor Gary Hesmer, and apparently there's a ball been dropped on ordering calcium for three service areas, South Colony, which is, you know, this greater Palmer area, Bogard 25, that's an area that mainly Ron represents in Cottonwood Shores along Bogard and whatnot, and the Butte, that they have no calcium. So I'd like to see if the manager could, through the Public Works Director, we can remedy that. It's about a $30,000 local purchase as far as 25, I understand. And then it's matched by the dust control fund, the borough fund, it's generated from vehicle taxes, $30,000. So RSA 1625 and Butte are going to generate a lot of calls for you this summer if we have a dry, dusty summer, because they won't have any stockpile of calcium chloride to put on for dust control. And thanks for your patience with the Academy Charter building. I think you all kind of saw what's going, how that's kind of working itself out.
Thank you. Assemblymember Collins.
I'll keep my comments to myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Very generous. Assemblymember Woods.
No comment.
Assemblymember Solomon.
This is the Park Commission meeting this week. Very informative. Things are moving along. You'll have a report, a couple of resolutions coming from them. Noah was there with me and well represented. That's a major project and means a lot to us down the line. So thank you. And so were they. I was impressed by the way they ran the meeting. And thank you for your time tonight. And I didn't sense any vehemence in the room. I thought we were all pretty cordial. And folks left 4-3, that's interesting. They generally don't go that way, but that's a good sign, in my opinion, that there's honest discussion on the table and honest disagreement, and I can live with the results of the turnout. So thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keel.
Thank you. I've gotten in the habit of not making comments, but when we were addressing the issue of the ferry, the debate was cut off and I didn't have an opportunity to speak, so I will just make one short comment in regard to the ferry. And that is, when I went to visit the ferry, I assumed that other assembly members had been on board and looked at it and been on the water on the ferry, and apparently no one has. The manager has, the mayor has, but none of the rest of us have. I would encourage you to do so you have a good sense of this referred to as an albatross. Perhaps it could be an asset, perhaps. But nonetheless, I would suggest that we make this ferry less abstract. And so unless you see it and walk around on it, take it out of the water, you really don't know what you have. It's like talking about the prison without really walking through the prison and seeing what it's like. It's like talking about the port, but without walking up and down the docks and taking a look at the building. So I would think it would give everyone a little bit better perception of what we have, of what we're about to have. I guess I would like to say, irrespective of how it turns out on the motor vessel Susitna, it's in its own right a rather remarkable boat. And it does exhibit most of those qualities that are advertised. It's very stable on the water. It has some very unique features. It's classified as a high-speed boat. In my visit there were four people from the Navy as well as a marine architect there. And those folks present from the Naval Underwater Warfare Center were very interested and had mentioned a couple of different potential applications, so their interest is high, I would say. So I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, or if you don't want to make an opportunity, to see our motor vessel, Susitna.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you. That calcium issue Mr. Culver's talked about, that was a big one. That was a unilateral decision by a borough employee to pull it out of the 3 or 4 road service areas. Then it got back in several others, but it never was taken from any of the road service area boards, nor the big board. It was just the wrong way to do it to start with. I agree with Mr. Culver on the implications for the summer. Also, I don't know where we're at on the contracts review for the road service areas, but I'd like to see something coming down here. I'm hearing that certain things are being pulled out of contracts and being pulled out of the service manual, like the road boards no longer can review the amount of funding and the slips for the contractors themselves. That's been pulled away from them, and things are getting a little worrisome to me, and I'd like to nip that in the bud.
Thank you. My deputy mayor. Are you there, Assembly Member Arvin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I was actually not going to comment, but I'm compelled to do so with respect to the ferry. It is a unique vessel, and it does do all the things that it was advertised to do, except carry as many people as it was going to, and carry as many automobiles as it was going to, and cost as much as it's going to cost. It is an albatross, and I am very worried about it, and I feel that it's my responsibility to voice this concern and do everything I can to limit the amount of financial impact that the borough taxpayers are going to feel when this boat becomes an asset of the borough. Additionally, when we talk about spending $50,000 a month, and bear in mind, we've been talking about A, B, C, X, Y, Z potential users for a year and a half. And true, the boat is just now finished. And I suppose it's possible that now it is actually seaworthy and certified and out of the dry dock, maybe there is somebody that will come along and lease this vessel. And you know what? I hope that there is. I pray that there is. But I'm a pretty realistic guy, and I'm not holding my breath on that. So when we talk about spending $50,000 a month, $600,000 a year to keep it docked in Southeast, are we still looking at bringing the vessel to Port McKenzie and putting it on the beach so everybody in Anchorage can see it and feel it and walk on it and really experience it by being there? Are we still looking at that? Or are we all going to fly down to Juneau and go on a boat ride? That's not realistic. So while the manager continues to identify different resolutions for this thing, I hope that bringing it to Port McKenzie and putting it on the beach on that new 8.5 acres we have sitting out there that nobody's using because nobody wants to dig up coal or cut down trees or to have any kind of actual resource extraction activity going on in the world. Maybe we can at least plant that there as a, and maybe it will help to get the thing started. Parking in the Southeast and spending $50,000 a month is ludicrous. So I hope we're still looking at other things very, very strongly. But that'll be done.
Thank you, Assembly Member Arvin. I think we all share your concerns. At least some of them. And on that subject, I am even willing to go with the manager and the attorney if it's necessary back to D.C. to try to start the process of unraveling things. Because we have got some obligations that we have to take care of, and I think it's going to work out. I will be going to Juneau tomorrow to work on our interests down there. Tomorrow evening I'll be in that Senate Finance statewide hearing where I'll get a whole 2 minutes to sit there. But we'll be doing one-on-one too, and hopefully things are going to come to a business-like conclusion down there before the session's over. I would like to request that, but two things. I'd like to know whether the selection process is over for the borough selecting lands in this borough. It seems a little ironic to me that we don't even own the majority of our own borough. I know there was a selection process at one time, and it was kind of gummed up with the mental health issue.
And, I don't know why we couldn't be managing these lands. Assemblymember Woods?
I asked the same question a few days ago. I had Lonnie take me down to the source of, we thought, information, Nancy Cameron, and she told me that all the land selections had been made and there were lands available that if we had a specific use for that we could apply for that are now state lands. Now, whether that was part of the state capital move property, that may be, but as of this moment, I was assured that all the borough allocation of land has been completed.
Yeah, I suspect that's something our state legislators could fix.
I think so. Thank you.
Well, I agree with what Mr. Wood said. An entitled passed 2 years ago and the Southeast Pacific plan, so we picked up title to two, and I don't think it can stop you from applying for more of them for meeting the state delegation.
I would also like the manager to report to us on exactly where we're going borough-wide with this historic stuff. Because obviously...
Back to the future?
Well, we're obviously approaching this piecemeal, but I'm sure there was some groundwork laid that we've missed out on. At least I think we need to be updated on. So, and I think we maybe need to take a long look at what where we're going, as, along with this one that we postponed. And with that, I'm going to adjourn unless there's objections.